All right. What's up, class? This is Optimus Fields at My Living Truth, and we are at block height 651,734. And according to Clark Moody's dashboard, the Bitcoin price is 10,640. And we're back for another episode, another week. Blocks keep coming in. So we're here at Bitcoin Kindergarten. All right, take it away, Nick.
Yo, what's up, class? It's Nick at Nick Can't Mine from Twitter. And we're just going to jump right into the teacher's lounge. We, over the weekend, me and Optimus presented how to find Bitcoin Zen at hcpp.tv. It was a big, like, 58-hour live stream. Had a ton of legends presenting in it, including Nico, who was in this class right now. But, yeah, if you want to watch that. And Coin Icarus. So if you want to watch that, check out our YouTube. It's there. And without further ado, let's just get right into class.
Yeah. Also, go check out the live stream. There's a lot of content there. There's a lot of good stuff. We just cut out our presentation because there's about 8 videos and they each run for like 9 to 10 hours or something like that. So either way, go do the do. Okay. So, we are back, and it's been a pretty busy week for Bitcoin, and I thought it'd be a good discussion topic, kind of jumping off like the BitMEX news and then IRS cracking down or awarding a contract to try to break Lightning Protocol, as well as, you know, like shitcoiner John McAfee getting called in to the law and UK doing some lockdowns on their exchanges. So the basic idea is, it seems, and like my friends Coin Icarus and Nico have said on their Simply Bitcoin show, it seems like we are at the phase of Bitcoin where they fight us. It seems like we're getting a lot of government and regulatory attention, for better or worse, and it seems like we are at the point in time where Bitcoin might get some more flack from the government. We've been kind of, you know, running under the radar for a while. The price has been pretty stable around 10K, so I thought it'd be a good discussion to talk about what are you guys thinking? Are we at that point where things are going to get a little hairy and we might have to you know, not only take our bitcoins off exchanges, but get a little more concerned with like coin joining and privacy practices, because it seems like they're going to try to come for our bitcoins. Well, we know it's a losing battle, but still, it's a kind of a call for concern. So what are you guys thinking?
Anyone? Yeah, we're really at the beginning of this. You know, this is really the beginning of the, you know, the then they fight you stage. And I don't know if anybody else remembers this, but when COVID first started happening, I remember seeing some stupid articles from people saying that, oh yeah, you know, nobody's going to hold Bitcoin through a difficult time like this. People are going to lose their jobs. Bitcoin, that's it. You know, this is just going to, it's going to fall apart. And remember, there was that article there that, you know, Bitcoin failed the COVID test and all kinds of, you know, garbage. And look at what happened. It didn't die again. So everything that gets thrown at it, regardless of what it is, it just doesn't seem to die, because it doesn't care about the narrative. It doesn't care about the politics. As we all know, it just churns out the next block. So I think that we are going to just see an increase of the then they fight you.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Whoever thinks they can have the authority to control other people, in this case, what is it, the CFTC came down on BitMEX. These people, they think they have power. They do have power in many ways, and they're going to try and flex their muscles as much as they can. That being said, the crackdown on BitMEX and even John McAfee are both around the concept of trading. You know, that world of stocks and trading and manipulating and pump and dumps. You know, what McAfee's being accused of, which has nothing to do specifically with Bitcoin. And nothing to do with the Bitcoin protocol or the way the network operates. It certainly doesn't stop the blocks from coming. So it's an indirect attack. It's certainly not a direct attack. It's not a direct attack on individuals, their holdings in Bitcoin or anything like that. But it's a step closer to trying to control anything having to do with this whole new ecosystem. Without a doubt, I agree with Clinicus. It's only the beginning of them trying to fight us at any level they possibly can. Currently, I don't see it as a big threat, but it's just the beginning.
Dude, can we talk about how, to add on to Jim's point, right, and to add on to Coin and Chris's point, we talk about how awesome it is that BitMEX doesn't give two Fs and keeps withdrawing on regular basis, right, to everybody, even though the U.S. pressed criminal charges. If this had anything to do with the dollar, that would be totally frozen, 1,000,000%. But totally. Since it's Bitcoin, operates like nothing happened, and that's glorious.
Yeah. You know, it gets to the point of that the people who are trying to flex these muscles and control other people are simply that, just other human beings. And they find themselves in a position on this planet where they think they have the belief and they have other people to help back it up, that they can arrest somebody for doing something that people voluntarily want to do with each other. It's off the charts oppressive and tyrannical, but that's what governments do. That's what agencies of the state do. They come down on people doing things that they don't want them to do. You know, control freaks all over the place. It's insane. I give Arthur Hayes and those guys a lot of credit for flipping them the bird, because fuck these idiots. They're just other humans, man. Where do they get off trying to control everybody? It's off the charts, man, and it's everywhere. This COVID thing is just another insane example of controlling people. Anyway, sorry. Didn't mean to get off topic.
Jim, sorry, Jimming himself.
That was the first.
Bit Consultants, do you want to chime in?
Yeah, I was just thought it was funny because like a week before there was that big story about, you know, a bunch of big banks, HSBC, JP Morgan, all money laundering for drug runners, cartels, all kinds of stuff. Like upwards billions of dollars, and not even an arrest, not even an indictment, just like pay a fine maybe, and then, you know, they go hardcore after the exchange, just working Bitcoin only, nothing, not even touching USD. That's what I always liked about BitMEX. You know, they didn't care to do the USD or anything, and Caffey had it coming, man. That guy's just kind of a cannon, so and a shitcoiner. He had it coming, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, just go show how how law is enforced so subjectively that it's not even law anymore. It's just the whim of these humans, of these strangers, which is what they are, just strangers, people on TV that we don't even know as people, enforce it as to pretty much secure their own power and wealth. That's it.
100%. Yeah,
Bitcoin falters not. It will prevail.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's like we always say, the fact that they're cracking down on Bitcoin, even if it's just kind of lightly on the individuals right now, it sells what Bitcoin is for. You know, the very fact that they want to crack down on Bitcoin, even if it's just like on the peripheral, it just kind of proves to me even more than it already has and will in the future that, you know, Bitcoin is the money we need. And like Jim was saying, that we don't need, you know, some small group of individuals directing the choices and behavior of every other 7 billion person on the planet. It's like grown adults should and will make the best decisions for themselves. And the fact that now we have a money that people can't, you know, inflate and can't stop is like, it's a beautiful thing to watch. And it's also maybe very scary for the powers that be, because they know that their power is dwindling. And so it's almost like they're acting a little too late to stop anything to happen. And I don't know, you know, I'm projecting, maybe they understand this and they're just trying to crack down and make some people to be examples. And so it is kind of worrying as an individual that in the future, you know, like we are on their radar. I mean, most of us probably have known that we're on their radar, and we're, as you know, Bitcoin Twitter personalities and even further, just people that are quote unquote woke on the internet, we are all probably on some kind of list for the government. And so it is a little worrying as an individual to just think of like, okay, they're cracking down on us, and we should you know, protect our necks as best as possible. But you know, at large, Bitcoin isn't going to be stopped. And you know, the fact that like the IRS is paying for a contract to try to stop Lightning is just so bullish on Lightning. And it's just like, it's so bullish on Bitcoin, you know. It's like CoinAcres are saying, you know, first they ignore you and then they fight you and then they join you. So super bullish, a bit concerning information and events, but super bullish. Jestifer, you want to jump in?
Yeah, it's I really like that take. But I think like the US, like, you know, operating the largest like fiat system, you know, by government decree, you know, the meaning of fiat, like we enforce the value of the US dollar with the US military, essentially. And so it's interesting to like juxtapose, like, you know, we've got like the FinCEN files where just like, you know, we followed the law and we reported the fact that we might be funding drug dealers and terrorists. And then we still process the fees. But then when it comes to BitMEX, you know, they're like kind of flaunting, you know, how that they are getting around US laws by saying like, oh, well, we can just like bribe, you know, the Seychelles with a couple of coconuts, like really demonstrating this whole like come at me, bro mentality. And it's just funny to see like, you know, Bitcoin's growth, because, you know, when like way back when it like during like WikiLeaks time, you know, Bitcoin wasn't quite prepared for this. And now it seems like almost known by the US that they really can't stop Bitcoin. There's no one that they could arrest that would really stop this system now. And so they're just going to have to make examples out of some people. And I'm really happy to see that finally Arthur Hayes, of BitMEX is, you know, finally prepared to like has the cash available to actually fight the US and, you know, might be throwing some serious, legal teams like at this issue, to protect our, you know, monetary liberty.
Beautiful, bullish. And, you know, say what you want about Arthur, you know, liquidating everyone's Bitcoins, but the BitMEX stand, like Nika said, was pretty badass. It's like a solid precedent for other Bitcoiners, I think.
Yeah, actually, that was the really outstanding thing that they like were able to still process withdrawals, even though there was this massive enforcement action happening. And like people just moved off of exchanges, which they probably should have done anyways. But yeah, that's like, because they can't stop Bitcoin.
Yeah. Nick, do you want to read your Bitcoin Magazine tweet? It's in the chat.
Sure. So the tweet says, no one was arrested for the 08 financial crisis. No one was arrested for the Wells Fargo grift. No one was arrested for the FinCEN files. I probably pronounced that wrong. No one was arrested for the JP Morgan metal spoofing. These are all scams that really hurt people, but BitMEX is a product that people love and use, and they're instantly sent to jail. Like, that's fucked up.
It's a definition of a scam. That's literally a scam. It's a fucking scam. I'm sorry, Jim. It's a scam.
Yeah, mafia tactics, essentially.
100%.
I mean, if there's any more evidence that that's a cartel, I mean, it's unbelievable, right? Like, you can clearly see it's because he's stepping on the wrong people's toes. They're getting upset, and only they're allowed to be scamming.
Yeah, can we just be clear to those who are listening? the reason this all matters is because the money is broken and Bitcoin fixes it, and that's why we're discussing this. The fact that these people operate in a fiat money system allows them to be in control and pay people off and get what they want. And Arthur Hayes is like, screw you. You know, I don't even deal with your stupid money. So leave us alone. But they're trying to flex their power over us, the U.S. citizens who wanted to use his service, and they tried to block us. I didn't personally use it. I live in New York. It's even worse trying to do anything from New York, let alone America. But, you know, who are these group of people to stop free Americans from wanting to operate with this guy wherever he's based on the planet? Who gives a crap? You know, nobody twisted their arm to put their money on there and lose it and gamble it away. It's their own issues, you know. It just blows my mind. Anyway, yeah, there you go.
There was an interesting interview with Arthur Hayes, like maybe like 6-7 months ago, and he was just talking about how much harder it is to run crypto exchange because he came from traditional markets and all that. And for the most part, to trade traditional markets, yeah, especially derivatives, you have to go through like a trading desk who has they have to go through all these regulations and licensing to even access the order book for the market. Whereas with most crypto exchanges, pretty much all of them, the user themselves gets to direct access to the order book and to the market. And so they don't need to go through a third party like a trading desk to participate in these markets. And that's another big change that's happened with crypto. It's giving individuals direct access to these markets that are also 24/7, you know.
Yeah, and you got a group of people who have decided for whatever reason and whatever authority they think they have to say, well, we made up some markets and we set the rules. You know, you got to do what we say is the way this is supposed to work. And a bunch of other people are like, well, screw you. We're going to do sort of what you do only on our terms. And these other people don't like it and they want to control Arthur and everybody else around the world. It's just... Again, I'm just blown away. Every time this stuff comes across my radar, I just think, who the hell are these human beings that think they get to control other human beings? It's as simple as that. How do they get the authority to think they could just reach around the globe and stop a business? Freaking insane.
They're insecure, narcissistic sociopaths.
100%. So, Jim, you were talking about 100%. Chris. So Jim, you were talking about authority. I think that it's inevitable that Bitcoin, if they allow it, right? It is a big if, right? I think it's inevitable that Bitcoin decreases the role of government because it disintermediates the money, just like how the internet has disintermediated basically everything, right? The question is, will the, particularly the American government, because it has the most to lose, to be honest, will they allow something like that to happen, right? Would they allow basically the power, you know, taken away from their hands? Because the reason they have so much freaking power is because they print the goddamn money, right? So they just amass all this ridiculous power and the corruption that comes with it. So, like, you know, is the Constitution, because the Constitution is great for that, right? But is the Constitution and the world, you know, going to be ready to take on this giant behemoth of a beast that is the U.S. government today? And I think that the best example of that is, you know, Nick's tweet and what happened with BitMEX. I think, look, it's crazy. I see this tweet and my blood boils. I had to bookmark it. You know, it's like all these things. It's particularly the 2008 financial crisis, like that was the biggest crime ever committed. You know, the most wealth inequality grew out of that, right? Bitcoin was born because of how much injustice was served. And this company that's based in the seashells, you know, this little tiny island, the speck of dust off the coast of Africa that no one can even point on a map. The U.S. government just decides to reach across the planet and decides to press charges against this company that doesn't even allow you to trade. If you are from an IP address that's from the United States, you cannot trade on BitMEX, right? You're not welcome on there. It literally says, we do not welcome U.S. people, right? So it's I completely agree with Jim. I think it's such a giant overreach. Like, what the hell? Like, they don't have anything to do with you, you know? So I don't know.
I mean, I have a question. because I didn't really look too much into it besides what people were saying on Twitter, but did they crack down specifically because there were facilitating U.S. customers, or because some of the owners are from the United States?
Like, I think that they, in the past, they have facilitated. That's the excuse, right? The excuse is because you've served a U.S. person. But dude, the U.S. is a huge, huge country. We have 300 million people, right? 300 million people. So what's the possibility that one of those people decides to put on a VPN and trade on BitMEX, right? That's just their foot in the door, to be honest. That's just an excuse. And how come none of the American bankers that did, you know, basically destroyed our country in 2008, if it wasn't for the crazy Fed printing ridiculous amount of money, how come none of them went to jail? Not one guy went to jail, bro. And now they already arrested one of the dudes, you know, and they want to put this English guy in prison, you know, like, but it's not even based in the U.S. You know, it's what Koenigsegg said. It's such a cartel. It's a total scam. But Leroy, I think you work in that industry back then? What are your thoughts on this? I'm curious.
I think he's staying quiet, or he's on Twitter.
No.
No to what, Koenigsegg?
Oh no, he's not answering.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, maybe I put him on the spot.
Like always. Sorry, bro. Like always. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense when you think of, you know, Uncle Sam will always, you know, try to herd its cattle, and we're all but cattle in the regards to, you know, the government, the IRS or whatever. And so they're going to look for their cut. But it's just like, it's such a scam for them to play it like they're doing it for the safety of the U.S. customers or whatever. You know, it's just like such bullshit.
It's always under the guise of the people's safety, right? Even when they push something through, you know, if you're not for helping these people, then you're against them. Like, there's no way that there could be an alternate, better solution. You're simply just against them, and that's bad.
I hate how these people in power always try and conquer and divide people. It's really fucking annoying, and you see it happening everywhere, and it's the easiest way to get control over people.
Well, they're just reading The Art of War, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we could probably go on this for a long time, but I think this is a good transition, because last week we had in our questions one about like Ross Ulbricht and historical attacks by authorities on Bitcoiners. And then Justifer brought it up during the week that I think it was, what is it, Justifer, like the 7th year anniversary or 8th year anniversary that he's been in jail. And so it's, you know, it's almost like, I don't want to say fitting, because that sounds, you know, kind of a bad context, but it's, you know, it's like perfect timing that 7 years, 8 years later, that we are talking about Ross Ulbricht, you know, not rest in peace, but like shout out to him, you know, political prisoner, one of the original Bitcoin warriors out there. And he's basically going to be stuck in jail until he gets a presidential pardon. And then that same week, they crack down on BitMEX. And it just goes to show that, even though we shitpost on Twitter all the time and we take it very lightly, you know, like the game that we're playing has some very high risk to it. And it's, you know, like it is our only chance to fix the world if we fix the money. And so it's just, you know, it's kind of like one of those moments where, like, as much as we downplay it, it's just like, all right, you know, like this shit's real. They're definitely not fucking around anymore. we kind of thought that they were going to just join us because we have all the big institutional money coming in. But as CoinAcres is saying, it looks like we might be in for a fight. And I guess it begs the question whether everyone's ready to handle that fight. Christopher or BitConsult?
Yeah. As far as telling the story of Silk Road, which was like started by Dread Pirate Roberts, and that might be Ross Ulbricht, who is now in jail, might be one of the people that were Dread Pirate Roberts. But I mean, Silk Road was a website that was created just to was an ideological and political experiment. Ross Ulbricht is kind of a libertarian and just loves free markets. And so he created a website where people could buy or sell goods, provide reviews. Yes, lots of drugs were sold there, but also the drugs had reviews and people that tested them, and there was sharing information there. And so Ross Ulbricht was captured by the United States, and they really threw the book at him. And I don't think he was in a place to really defend himself legally for that. And they accused him of, some trumped up charges about allowing a hitman purchase to happen on the Silk Road, which is sort of a dubious claim, and they ended up dropping it. But the fact that he's serving life in prison for completely nonviolent offenses, it's kind of a cause for Bitcoiners to rally behind, because what we're doing is, creating an open system where you can essentially do anything that you want. So I would encourage people to look in that story and go to freeross.org. And there's a petition going to offer clemency for Ross Ulbricht. Even if he was a criminal, at his young age, he shouldn't be having to spend life in prison for completely nonviolent offenses, based on, his political ideology, which a lot of us share.
I agree.
I have another theory on how to get Ross out.
Let's get it.
Some point in the near future, Bitcoiners will crowdfund just some elite special forces team private that'll break them out.
It wouldn't be impossible.
No, it's in a market economy that's developing like a true free market. That's definitely a possible scenario.
Sealed teams. It's a
just one group of humans against another.
Yeah, I remember watching that whole story unfold and the day he got arrested and all that. And yeah, his vision behind it, if he was the original, because there's a lot of theory that he wasn't the original and he was just one of many Dread Pirate Roberts. But it was an experiment in just free markets, like purely free markets. And it worked great, despite it being third party centrally controlled and a bunch of people lost Bitcoin. But it's also interesting that Tim Draper bought all that Silk Road Bitcoin back in 2015 or something, about like 80,000 Bitcoin. So the money just went back into the, private markets. There's a good documentary called The Deep Web that came out that's about, mostly it revolves around Dread Pirate Roberts and Silk Road and that whole story and how they screwed him over so bad and just like threw the book at him in court, and it was a kangaroo court, and gave him two life sentences and all that and dropped the charges that he was pretty much it was pretty much entrapment, like agents posed as fake people or as like moderator accounts. They took over certain moderator accounts and then they posed as those mods and then threatened to dox him or people on the site and get people killed, and like coaxed him into like talking about or like murder for hire type thing. And they dropped the charges in court, and it was just, yeah, it's like everything you see in the movies is total kangaroo court.
Yeah, that was a total scam. I support Ross. I've tweeted about Free Ross many times, but I have this unpopular opinion where, at the end of the day, you know, you could say whatever, you know, about free market, whatever. At the end of the day, you know, he did break some laws, and yeah, you know, you can go to jail for a couple of years, but no way in freaking life did he deserve, there's no way he deserved life in prison, you know? There's no way, you know, it's not justifiable. And the reason the U.S. government did that was to kind of set an example, which we all know it doesn't work. Because if you look at the history of the drug war, you know, these lengthy sentences, they just don't work, right? So they, you know, they tried to use the same medicine that they've always had in this shady Virginia court that they used to try, you know, they would use to try Edward Snowden too, right? And this Virginia court is super famous for kind of like, yeah, it's a jury and whatnot, but it's super famous for like basically, you know, just always, you know, just always siding with the government, right? It's super shady. And it's a federal court. And yeah, man, it was a total scam, and it didn't work, right? Like, you know, it didn't work at the end of the day. This young guy, he's in his 30s now, basically lost the rest of his life. You know, he's going to live 40 more years, right? We're going to have to foot the bill as the taxpayer. And it didn't work. There's, you know, Silk Road got shut down. Now Silk Road 3 is online. There's five other darknet markets that are pretty well known. They're pretty famous. And they're usable. And it's, and you could still order drugs to your house. So what the hell was the point? There wasn't a point. You know, there wasn't a point. And people commit, you know, atrocities. And you know, and they don't get life in prison, man. And this poor guy, you know, kind of, you know, contributed to this marketplace and basically built it from, you know, from what I heard. But, you know, what you guys are saying, you know, don't believe everything, you know, that's been said, right? A lot of people say that he doesn't have the coding experience and whatnot. So it wasn't all him, you know, you choose what to believe. But there's no, you can't justify the fact that this dude got life in prison. That isn't justifiable. There's no argument that holds up against that. I suspect that eventually, you know, a president will grant him clemency or not. There's no way this dude's going to spend the rest of his life in prison for what he did, bro. There's no way. I don't think so. I think, you know, I think his mom's efforts and, you know, I think eventually people are just going to wake up. You know, if enough of the public get on the cause, I think eventually the president will give him what he wants.
Can I add in, for those listening, there's another documentary, a 6-part series called Railroaded, The Targeting and Caging of Ross Ulbricht. I encourage everybody to watch it. It lays out a lot of information that you guys just mentioned. And they cite a lot of public sources so that you can verify and look it up yourself if you felt like doing the research. But the guy was definitely railroaded. He deserves to be free. He's already served 7 years. I think that anniversary you guys mentioned was the start of his 8th year or the end of his 8th year. I can't remember, but yeah, he's been in jail for quite a while for building a website and wanting to let free people buy and sell things. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, a travesty. It's definitely stomping on our natural rights and, you know, just a stretch of the authoritarian power and the tyranny that they want over us as a, you know, a free, quote unquote, free human in society today. But does anyone want to touch on it a little more, or you guys want to move on? Christopher?
Just a slightly happier note, like the fact that BitMEX is like really well positioned to like, you know, fight a good fight potentially for Bitcoiners. At least that's my hope, that they might be able to fight some of that, that, you know, tyranny that essentially the U.S., you know, did against Ross Ulbricht. So I'm hopeful for the future, and a few people along the way to hyper Bitcoinization have paid the price. And you know, I mean, a thank you is not enough for sure. I would love to see justice, where they're free again. That day hasn't come yet, but I'm super hopeful for the future.
Yeah, and also I think it's like a good point to just state to, you know, who's ever listening, that it may be of interest to you to look into some of the best privacy features that we, you know, occasionally touch on for Bitcoin, like coin joining, using VPNs, you know, having good UTXO coin selection, labeling, all that good stuff. And maybe Nick and I will come on here and do like a specific episode on that, so that the noobs out there can get an idea. And I'm going to throw this little softball up to Nick and see whether he wants to skirt it or not. But should we talk about the privacy wallet wars going on right now on Twitter, or we'll just let that one slide?
All I'm going to say is, fuck Samurai, and let's just move on to the next one. I don't want to get caught up in that.
Oh shit.
Seconded.
Oh shit. Alright.
Well, I wanted to mention that wallet called Blue Wallet released integrated version
that
has PayJoin.
Oh yeah, I saw that. That's super tight.
We can talk about Blue Wallet for a minute if you want.
Shoot it.
Do you want to go more into detail on that, Big Consultants?
I used to use the wallet. I haven't used it in a while, but what I understand essentially is you're just the recipient and the sender are joining the transaction. Then it adds a layer of anonymity or privacy to it, because you can't really tell whose coins are whose, essentially. But if more wallets were to integrate it, could be essentially a default way of sending Bitcoin in the future. Just every transaction is a pay join.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. I saw Mr. Hoddle commenting on that on Twitter. Like, if this becomes like the default norm, that's fucking bullish. You know, like that's just better all around for everyone's privacy. I think it's a great thing to see. People over at Blue Wallet always putting out good stuff. Like, they have a great wallet.
Yeah, they have a good wallet for sure. You can do a lot of stuff with it.
Shout out to Blue Wallet.
Yeah, and it's pretty normie friendly. Like, I've gotten a few friends to use Blue Wallet because I would, you know, I'd shoot them Green Wallet, but I get this weird bug every once in a while on Green Wallet where for some reason I can't log into my wallet after I create the seeds. And so, like, I think that's just on my part, something going on. Someone told me that I need to get on the Wi-Fi or something like that. Haven't really used it much since, but I definitely show Blue Wallet to my pre-coiner and new coiner friends. And it seems like they just keep kicking ass, dude. They keep putting a bunch of really cool updates on their wallet, and it's pretty user friendly.
But yeah,
I've definitely run into that bug when I've like tried to offer Green Wallet to people.
Oh, you have? So it's not just me.
yeah, it's not just you. And I think I had to like reinstall it. But I was kind of curious about like how PayJoin works. Is it like the store is actually paying a little bit of money to like kind of confuse like what is change and what isn't? I haven't really dug into it, but I'm super curious because it seems like a cool privacy advantage.
I mean, someone might be able to explain it better than I can, but from what I read and retained is essentially someone will send you. So say you're buying something for like 100,000 sats or something, you send one UTXO to the merchant or who is ever receiving it, and then you check the little like pay join option either in your wallet, And then there's like on BTC Pay Server, there's like a pay join link or like a copy address. And so what it does is it essentially will take the UTXO that you're sending to the merchant, and then it will combine it with the UTXO from the merchant. And then it'll basically like combine them to be one transaction going into the merchant's wallet. So it's like, yeah, it kind of takes like a change address, I guess you would say, from the merchant, and then it combines them. So you're not really sure what the input heuristics are for that specific UTXO, but maybe someone else can explain it a little better than I can.
I think that generally covers it from what I understand as well.
Yeah, I posted a link to the BIP, the Bitcoin Wiki, and it goes into a little more detail. And yeah, it's essentially the receiver and the sender joining in a transaction in order to obscure it. But if everyone starts doing that,
yeah, that
adds another layer of ambiguity.
Even if just, you know, 10% of the network really does it, it's it does a lot.
Yeah, I know from like BTC Pay Server end, in order to enable that feature, you have to like set aside some funds to be used, like to like enable pay join. So you're like, you're circling some sort of funds there. Super interesting. Thanks.
Yeah, it has to be interactive or a hot wallet of some sort.
I was just going to ask, is it a hot wallet? I would think you would need something like that as well.
For the merchant side, I think you would. But I think that if you're, it just has to be interactive. So if the merchant is something that it's, you know, automatic, then they would have to be some sort of hot wallet.
Does
anybody know if it's something you could do if you're not a merchant, just say like between two people?
Yeah, you could do it if just two people. And it uses, I'm reading here, it uses ESBT, so you just partially signed Bitcoin transactions. So in that sense, you can sign offline if you have some kind of system that signs offline and then puts that signature back into the pay join transaction. You wouldn't need a hot wallet.
Do we know like what wallets are using pay join? Is it just BTC Pay and Blue Wallet at this moment?
I think so.
The wallet that should not be named that we said we wouldn't talk about also.
I'm pretty sure Electrum is as well. Let me confirm that.
All right, so yeah, there's a few wallets out there. Hopefully we'll see more of that, and you know, we'll start breaking all these heuristics over there for chain analysis. But yeah, hey.
Other humans that want to do things against us, we have to fight back.
I know, right? Yeah, well, we got a few more questions, but if anyone in the chat wants to ask a question, by all means, you can unmute yourself and ask a question. I'm not sure if... I'm familiar with most of these faces, but I'm not sure if Sandy or Tony are newer Bitcoiners, and I'd like to give them an opportunity to ask some questions if they have some. But if not, we can just keep it moving. Tony?
Yeah, I've been around since 2017. I've got, I may or may have not used Samurai and Wasabi. I don't understand how it works, yeah.
You may or may not be related to Satoshi as well.
My grandfather. Yeah.
Tony, did you say you aren't sure how the coin joining works? Is that what you said? You kind of cut out for me.
No, I have a little understanding. Like I kind of understand how it works on basic idea. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just afraid that if we're talking about law enforcement, that maybe one day it will be considered as money laundering or some illegal activities. So I hope we are going to move way faster than the law enforcement. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely agree. I mean, definitely not money laundering, but privacy is all right. I can see why someone would say it is money laundering, but I'm on the other side where, you know, I believe in privacy. I believe it's right. I've been kind of thinking about privacy a lot lately because we've had all this drama on Twitter, and we'll have people, some of our friends will say like, there's no reason to have concern over KYC. And then we have the other camp of like, you know, only buy non-KYC coins. And then we have, you know, the other, like another camp saying, you know, you can't ever transact in privately. You can't ever transact privately in the economy anyways. And then other people like, well, you know, you don't walk around, like you have blinds on your house, you know, privacy's a right. So it's been kind of something on my mind lately where it's like, okay, you know, I definitely believe in Bitcoin as a transparent ledger, but I also believe in, you know, not doxing all my UTXOs. So it's definitely been something on my mind. And, you know, I don't think I have fully wrapped my head around what my perspective is on all of it. But I definitely agree that you should use some privacy tools and try to retain as much privacy as possible. And, you know, do what you can to not dox your holdings, because like Tony said, who knows what will happen in the future and who knows what attacks us Bitcoiners will face. So it might be a good time to try to protect your neck a little bit before things get pretty crazy in this, what we believe to be upcoming super bull run.
Agreed. And Bitcoin at the end of the day is digital cash, right? So I like in ideal scenario, it should not leave any trace as in like to your personality. Yeah. Obviously, it will be written forever in a ledger, but other than that, I mean, privacy is definitely a must, as I see it.
I think it's like a really important human right that we should stand for. And if you want to collaborate with other people to make a transaction at the same time, that seems like the right to assembly for me. So, you know, the right to coordinate with other people to, you know, do a nonviolent action, which is spend at the same time. So it's like, I would not want to use like the terms like mixing services or, you know, or call it money laundering. You're coordinating with other people and maybe using a coordinator to spend at the same time. And that's a privacy preserving feature of those technologies.
Yeah. And, you know, just to kind of add to what Jester was saying, governments are screwed, right? Like they're screwed. And the reason that, you know, Bitcoin isn't flat out banned now is because they're so screwed. And the reason they're screwed is like they're stuck in a very tough spot because they can't outright ban it, because that would like kind of open up their avenue to another country just warming up to Bitcoin and just, you know, just the money just outflows, right? And then from the other aspect, they can't over-regulate it because you get more crazy people like us that just don't decide to go back into fiat. Because all this money, this whole money laundering business, it's not a problem if you stay in Bitcoin. If you stay in Bitcoin, you don't have an issue whatsoever. But as soon as you decide to sell for whatever reason and you decide to buy dollars again, right, now you're in their game, right? Now you're in their business, right? So that's where you can get in trouble. As long as you stay in Bitcoin and you transact in Bitcoin and you just stay completely in Bitcoin, no one's going to tell you anything. Because it's literally impossible, right? The only way would be like for the government to start collecting everyone's addresses and pub files and all that stuff, and then keep this whole damn database of I don't think that's going to happen, right? They'll probably try. They'll probably, some crazy person will probably say that, you know, but like, I don't think that's going to fly, right? So, man, that's the reason that they haven't banned it, because they don't want another country to, you know, kind of take the US's lead. But at the same time, they can't overregulate it either. So it's, man, I think eventually they're super screwed. And if you speak to anybody in Latin America, right, like they understand this concept so well, and you don't even need to explain it to them. It's like, you mean a money that the government doesn't control? Like, sign me up, you know? And it's crazy. It's absolutely absurd. So Yeah, man, I'm really optimistic for the future, but it's going to be wild, this battle between, you know, the legacy system and, you know, Bitcoin. It's going to be, there's going to be blood for sure.
Like chopping off central bankers' heads, or are they them coming for us?
Oh, they're going to be so mad. They're going to be coming for us the whole time, but honey badger them.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we started the show. We're definitely at the point in time where Bitcoin and Bitcoiners are being fought against, whether directly or indirectly, or whether it's an active fight. I think it'll be, you know, only time will tell whether this is going to be a long battle, or it's like what we say, like, we, you know, the battle is already, the war is already won. They may have some battle and some skirmishes, but like, they just haven't figured out that, you know, they have no power, and they'll try to hold on to that power as long as possible.
Nico, back to what you're just saying. The other week, American Hodl posted, "Buy when there's blood in the streets." And I said something like, you made me think the price just dumped. Like, you know, the price is pretty steady right now. And he's like, no, I mean, like, buy when there's real blood in the streets. And like, I kind of, you know, like, I'm going to be buying when there's real blood in the streets. I'm sure most people will. I feel like that'll be the most bullish sign if, you know, government, central banks try to come after us and, like, shit does hit the fan. Like,
dude, because you're buying more for, like, right? Like, there's two things, right? There's Bitcoin kind of, you know, Trojan horses everybody because it's like, oh, I'm going to get rich. But then you understand the ideology behind it. And the question that I have for everybody here is, would you go back to central banking? And every single one of you would say, fuck no. I'm not going to take my working capital, right, and my life that I traded for quote-unquote money and give it back to somebody else. And I don't think that these people that regulate the government understand how diehard we are with that freedom. Because once you let that genie out of the bottle, you're not putting it back in. And I don't think they understand that. I don't think they get that. Because if they got that, they would understand at what scale they're truly fucked. You know, because I don't think they get that yet. It's going to be interesting to see what the hell happens.
No, I'd agree with you 100%, Nico. It's like I'll see people on Twitter saying stuff about, you know, selling Bitcoin at a certain price. And then there's people like us that it's like, we're never going to sell all our Bitcoin, and we're never going to not stack sats. It's like, as long as we have fiat, we're going to be buying Bitcoin because Bitcoin is the best money to own. And so no matter what the price is, we will always be owning Bitcoin. There's not a day where you don't need money. And if you have money now, you know, like, you might be pretty well off into the future, but we will always own Bitcoin and we will always save in Bitcoin. And we don't want to go back into the legacy system. It's like, that system's broken. Why would I go back into a broken system when we have a better one? So I'm like 100% with you.
I think that most of us are, man. I think that most of us like the concept of total sovereignty, and we like the concept that we could just pick up our wealth and bring it with us without having to ask, you know, what Jim says about just asking some unknown person, you know, whether we have their blessing or permission. And man, I sleep really well at night knowing that my work, my blood, sweat, and tears is in a, man, I won't even call it a currency because that doesn't do it justice, but is in this like form of saving that is just so much harder than everything else. And anyone that's like, oh, I sold my Bitcoin and whatever, they're still on the legacy system. They're not thinking of Bitcoin, because if they thought of Bitcoin, they wouldn't sell. They would just keep it in Bitcoin. And if they needed, for whatever emergency, for whatever reason, they needed some, you know, the best, the most famous shitcoin on earth, they needed the dollar, man, just sell Bitcoin and buy dollars, bro. why do you need dollars and then buy Bitcoin? Why can't you just have Bitcoin and sell dollar? I mean, but you know what I mean. So
wisdom.
It's crazy, man.
Wisdom.
I think most people are going to come to that understanding real soon. When this $3, $4 trillion hangover kicks in, people are going to get that real quick.
Wisdom. And I love how you put that, because Nick and I did that tongue-in-cheek presentation for HCPP called Finding Bitcoin Zen. And that was like literally one of the last things we said. It's like, owning Bitcoin, you just sleep better at night knowing that you own Bitcoin, knowing that your time isn't getting devalued, knowing that, you know, what you own today is going to be the same, percentage of the money supply, and no one can take it away from you. And just that sense of security, for lack of better words, that sense of ownership just brings peace of mind into this new uncertain times that we're living in. And it's like, I'm 100% there with you, Nico. It's, I don't ever want to go back. I want to see Bitcoin improve and see the whole world come on Bitcoin, because I believe it to be the best money. And I know the majority of us believe the same way on here. And it's just so beautiful to see all of us from all around the world coming to consensus on this money. And it's not like someone's with the threat of violence forcing us and coercing us to use this money. We just all have freely chosen this money as the best money. And, I'm optimistic as well that other people will see the same thing that we do. And it might take a little while, but in time, the truth will prevail. And just so bullish, man.
Absolutely. But how much shit needs to go down before that happens, right?
There will be blood.
These next 10 years are going to be freaking crazy for Bitcoin, dude. It's going to be like craziest shit you've ever seen. Like, I don't know what the hell's going to happen. Like, my suspicion, this is my guess, like, the U.S. government's going to probably, because they already do this, they don't use the dollar as a currency. They kind of put it in this weird commodity area, or they value it as property. And that kind of limits a lot of its useless if you pay your taxes, right? So, like, you can't use Bitcoin, to pay for coffee or whatnot without declaring capital gains, which, like, severely limits its, like, quote-unquote use. So I suspect that, man, like, this might be a constitutional argument. Like, this might go to, like some big-ass courts, and they might have to argue it down there. Like, can Bitcoin be used as currency? Can a currency exist without a government? I hate to use this word, but that's what they're going to use, without a government backing it. Like, man, those are all, we're going to hear this. Like, I guarantee you this is going to happen within this decade, like 100%. And whatever happens in the U.S., right, is going to kind of be the example for the rest of the free world, right? So, man, it's crazy, and I'm so grateful to kind of be alive to, kind of experience this. And, just hearing what Jim was saying about his great-grandma giving him this, this coin, right, it's just, man, it's crazy just seeing all these, these historical events, because we're going to be looking back on this, and people are going to be like, listening to the Bitcoin Kindergarten podcast, like in history class, and like, oh, look at these guys. So, man, it's so awesome.
Mind blown. All right. Well, Tony asked a question. How is Bitcoin bringing the world peace? And I think we kind of touched on it, throughout the whole episode, but shortly. The fact that we can take money away from governments, and they can no longer have the power to inflate the money supply and essentially cause perpetual war on anyone and everyone, once you take that power away from them, like Bitcoin does, the free market will take care of everything else. And right now, whether we like it or not, we're all fiat slaves. The central bankers are essentially our masters, our owners. And a great, great reading on that is Masters and Slaves by Robert Breedlove. But essentially, you take away the money from the government, they can no longer do all the nasty things that they do to their peoples, and Bitcoin fixes this. I mean, I'm sure someone could dive a little deeper, but it's almost as simple.
I'll elaborate.
Yeah, get it, Jim.
The incentives that a hard money creates forces people to want to save it because it doesn't lose its value, and it's not something that, since you can't just make more of it in the Bitcoin system, as people start to use Bitcoin as their money, they're not going to frivolously spend it. When you can get money printed out of thin air, like the people closest to the money spigot can do, you can spend it into society and buy real value with it. So you're shifting the value upward from those who create it, the workers of the world, and the people down further, to the people who can make the money and just buy it off of them. But when you can't create more money, people are not just going to spend it frivolously. And if the very wealthy people are going to, their money will only go so far. Let's put it that way. Since they can't make more of it, they have to give society some value in order to get more of it back. So their money runs out unless they do something for society that somebody gives them money back. Now, aside from stealing and scamming people, the richest people in the world are those that are going to be putting out the most amount of value, not the ones stealing the most amount of value. And so it changes everything. People don't want to pay for war anymore. People can't get away with ripping people off forever because they'll run out of money to keep paying for it. It won't pay for enforcers to enforce the bullshit. So it just changes incentives in every single direction on the planet, and it makes for a peaceful society. But it's going to take a couple generations because the people that control things now are not going to give it up easy. So that's my synopsis.
Yeah, when you have monopoly on violence, you don't really need to provide any value.
Exactly. Thanks, Katie. You said it in one sentence.
Katie coming in hot.
Right here. What's up, Katie? Yeah, we're coming in real hot. Good job. Hello. You're right, though. That's very succinct.
What's this? Weenicus said a couple generations. I don't have that much time. Well, we're all about lowering our time preference.
Hey, I got about the least amount of time in this group, and I'm still optimistic as hell. So, call me optimistic too.
Yeah. Bullish on Jim.
Bullish on Jim.
No, it could happen a lot sooner, especially with the craziness that's going on this year. A lot of people are waking up. So you never know. Exponential things happen very quickly, as we have seen in many parts of life. So you never know. But it still could take a while.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, a lot of our investment thesis, quote-unquote, is essentially a decade, and the world will be on the Bitcoin standard, or at least going towards that direction. So we all tell everyone to stack as much sats as possible and make sure that the money you're putting into Bitcoin or exchanging for Bitcoin is money that you don't really need to survive. And so, you know, hodl for the long run, and everyone will be better off for it. So yeah, We're investing and thinking in decades here.
Hey, can I say this? We're the generation that's making a sacrifice for the future. We're the people that are holding on to this stuff so it doesn't get just wasted and ruined. We're the ones supporting the system by running nodes. We're the ones that future generations can look back and say, man, those people really believed this was going to happen. Because, you know, we certainly got an uphill battle in a lot of ways. But after 11 years, after what I've seen, I'm very convinced that this can not only happen, but will happen. The world will turn to a Bitcoin system one day in the entire world. The U.S. dollar probably being the last thing to go. But, I mean, this is revolutionary, in my opinion. So,
ooh, Jim, I just got the freaking goosebumps over here.
Sorry.
Let's get it.
US dollar is the final boss.
Just jumping onto that point, like everything else in the world, I mean, okay, like mostly in the US, Like, we've got like political infighting, like Democrats versus Republicans, and it's like, why even have debates at some point? But like here, all these Bitcoiners are gathered around like ideas that we all agree upon, and we're just like, we're expanding that whole consensus, which is inherently peaceful. Like we're able to organize ourselves and others to like create a new system that can be peaceful. And I was in sharing like some of like my thoughts about like the US debt with my friends, I was also like diving into the like Weimar Republic and like realizing that like they amassed a debt like through that they tried to devalue through money printing that would have taken 92 years in order for them to pay off, which I mean, like, and that was like all part of like Hitler's rise to power, where you like, you now have an authoritarian in power. So like, I'm super excited about a peaceful future that doesn't have the flaws of the fiat system that allows something so violent to occur.
Yeah, our debate between Plan B and Corey was way, way cooler than the Republican Dem decree debate.
Tony, did you have a comment or a question?
Yes, just to add a little bit to Jim and the rest, is that Saifi Din was writing about it in his book. Yeah, I guess some of you read it. He was saying that eventually, like back in the days, the kings, when they were fighting, they would run out of hard money, basically gold, and they couldn't print any more money, and people just would not pay taxes to support the war. So in this way, the hard money affected directly like the, basically the duration of war and the amount of deaths. And another idea, like talking about Hitler and Second World War, I guess European Union partially was created in order to unite all the economies with a single currency. And I believe that Bitcoin will do the same, but for the whole world. And when we'll be intertwined and there will be one Bitcoin standard for everyone, then hopefully it will also eliminate war, basically. Let's wait and see.
Can I elaborate on that, being adopted like that? You know, with money, originally money was a free market chosen tool by humans in different civilizations over different periods of time, using different things as this tool called money. And Bitcoin, because of the way it was released, because Satoshi walked away, because of the grassroots adoption, because it had zero value for like a year or two, and then a very slow growth in the black market and whatnot, and it's being freely adopted around the world. Nobody's forcing anybody. There's no marketing department. No one's really in charge of this thing. It runs off a consensus of people around the world. A lot of people can't grasp that. Like, how does this thing run? Well, we all just pretty much agree. It sounds crazy, but in essence, that's what's going on here. Like, thousands and thousands of computers come to consensus about every 10 minutes. And you can't cheat this system. It makes everybody be honest. You just have to, you got to literally turn your life around to join. You got to decide, I'm gonna live life differently. I can't cheat in the money anymore, like some people do. Not that we do, but we get cheated or whatever. You know, it's just a joke the way it's set up. You know, it's totally not fair. Now it's fair, and everybody's opting in voluntarily all around the world. It's really fascinating.
I've got a good quote for that. Or money is language, and Bitcoin is just a new language and where you cannot lie.
Universal language for sure. When you could price everything, people can talk and decide if they want to trade. I was going to say that earlier, that Bitcoin is free speech. It allows you to decide what something's worth, and you can decide between people by using this intermediary that everybody needs all over the world. Everybody uses some money. But if we all use the same money and it was one system and it was set amount like Bitcoin is, it changes the dynamics dramatically, and it makes everybody more honest and everybody more peaceful.
Beautiful.
Utopia. It's coming, man.
Yeah, you guys have been reminding me of what Friar Haas always says. that essentially, you know, you're, or how do you put it? He said something like, Bitcoin is the only foundation that makes you richer, or something like that. And it's like what everyone's saying, you know, we're holding Bitcoin to usher in what we believe to be a better world. And it's just funny that once you go so far down the rabbit hole, like you're thinking adjust so much to Bitcoin, and you just start seeing the world in completely different ways. And, you know, like I'm Optimus Fields, and it's Bitcoin's just so optimistic for people. And I really do believe people need it, not only the money, but just the messaging and the hope that Bitcoin brings to our future, considering how weird and uncertain and dystopian things look right now. So it's just beautiful. You know, I love talking with you guys about this.
It's going to happen, Optimus, for you and the other young guys. This is going to happen. The Bitcoin you accumulate over the next decade or two, however long you decide to accumulate, will increase in its purchasing power so much over the rest of your lifetime that you could start living off of it and still leave a giant fortune behind. And I don't think people can wrap their heads around the amount of exponential growth one single Bitcoin can provide for generations of people.
Woo, bullish. Let's go. Super bullish. I love it. Well, Nick, we've been going for about an hour or something. Does you want to wrap it up, or maybe someone wants to get some last words in, and then we can wrap it up for today?
We can do some last words and then wrap it up for today.
Anyone want to start it off? Actually, I got a little tweet that I got involved in earlier, that I think is a good place to end this. But I got tagged by our friend Ronin Node in a tweet earlier, and he was talking with Marty's Owl. And so I'm gonna read these two tweets, and then I'll just kind of end it. But he said, so Marty's Owl goes, you think MicroStrategy is going to stop buying Bitcoin? That chat is fully red-pilled. MicroStrategy will continue to buy Bitcoin from their retained earnings. And then our friend Ronan Node goes, I'm willing to bet Sir Chad was sitting on more personal cash than his company was. I'm sure he presented this. His stack was done before he did the work to convince his company. Price may never go down again. Floor is set. And then he tagged me, and he's like, at my living truth, I think this is the meme you've been looking for. And so the meme is floor is set. And I think that's a pretty bullish idea right now, considering just the craziness going on in the world. It's just like the Bitcoin floor is set. Like we have, you know, our in-house miner, Nico. And so we know the miners set the floor. But now we may be at the point where the hodlers are setting the floor, and it's only a matter of time until scarcity catches up and Bitcoin moon. So the floor is set. Let's get it.
I just stacked.
Ronan changed his Twitter handle to floor is set.
Yeah. So, it's just, we'll see if this, if that meme takes off, but I really like it. The floor is set. So, everyone out there stacking with us, the floor is set. Let's get it going into the future.
We all tweet that out right now.
We gotta see a visual. Yeah, I'm gonna do it. We gotta see a visual though of what, you know, what does that look like? I don't know how to make memes, but
yeah, well, we have some meme gods out there that'll figure it out.
Just stack two.
Let's get it. All right, well, yeah, what's up, Weenicus?
Hey, I'm new here. I'm friends with Liran and
Nico. Tight.
Yeah, I was just saying that I saw Willy Woo tweet today, and I just went in and bought more Bitcoin. Easily persuade.
Let's go.
Just spoke. I just bought some more because I can't control myself.
It's a good bad habit to have.
Yeah, you never feel regret.
Never, never, ever, ever. All right, well,
you guys want to say a few words? Nico, Coinmakers, Bit Consultant, Jessifer? No?
Yeah, I'll chime in.
Like always, guys.
Go ahead, Nico.
Oh, yeah, awesome show like always, guys.
All right, thanks, bro. Appreciate it.
You guys are doing the real thing.
Oh, well, thank you.
Hey, how often are these?
We do them every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. So we do it every week.
Cool.
Yeah, bro. I've been inviting you for the last 3 months, but finally made it.
Here I am. I have a low time preference.
Yeah, well, come back, bro. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bit Consultant, you wanna say something?
Yeah, I was just thinking it made me think of that Satoshi quote where he's like, might be wise to hold on to a few, because, you know, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy if it catches on, where people just are so convinced and so, not even just convinced, just understand to a point where they know that this money is harder money and more valuable than what we have, the only options we have right now. And so it is a self-fulfilling prophecy because people believe inherently that it's a better system and know it's a better system based on its functioning for the last 11 years.
Let's go. So yeah, that's why we do these Bitcoin kindergartens. That's why I'm pretty sure all of us are evangelical when it comes to Bitcoin, when it comes to someone willing to listen. So keep doing Satoshi's work out there. Nick, you want to wrap it up?
Shout out to everyone for coming out for another episode of Teachers Lounge this week. We got another huge audience. You guys really make the show. I know we say this every week, but it's really, you know, it's really true. If it was just me and Optimus bullshitting here, it wouldn't be as good as, you know, like all the homies on Bitcoin Twitter coming out. So shout out to everyone. Shout out to Katie for making like her 50th account, bumping up our numbers in this Discord channel. But yeah, stack sats, the floor set, new meme, new meme started. So let's go.
Let's get it. All right.
Thanks again for having me, guys.
No worries, Jim. We love you. All right. Well, we'll be back next week with another episode. So till then, guys, peace out.